So, here we are. Live from the Badlands, preaching about the risen Christ, the risen Savior, through the teachings of Paul, the only apostle. We're not mid-Acts. We're not hyper this. We're not that. We're just Bible-believing. We believe you should read the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. It's all there for you, and there's plenty in there for us to learn from about all sorts of things. But the stuff that's to us that we'll be accountable for at the judgment seat is Paul's epistles. So that's where we are, coming from the Badlands. Western part of South Dakota, if you don't know where the Badlands are at. It's super cold in the winter and super hot in the summer. The rattlesnakes, I understand right now, are down on the ground sleeping, and that's where I hope they stay, but I understand that they don't. I did hear a story today yesterday that this last year they found a rattlesnake behind one of the file cabinets in a classroom. So they don't know, over Midland again. So Midland is the place we don't want to be digging around places, I guess. But they're everywhere. People deer hunting can get up to 20-some deer. This one guy had gotten at one of the kids. And then they say these good words. They say when they do fishing, I don't know where they fish around here because I don't know where there's any water, but they do fishing. I guess stock dams and things. They catch northern walleye, perch, crappie, bullhead, the old standard stuff. And so there we go. Now, tonight, when I started preaching in Tushy, I've told you this before, that I prayed and I said, Lord, I will teach and preach whatever you show me during this week of studies or whatever's going on as I learn. And I'll just pass that on to somebody else. 2 Timothy, I think it is, or 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. You know, try to pass this stuff on to somebody else. And I'll do the same thing here. And what that means is, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll get started. And this is not going to just be, I wanted to do the Institute thing on the computer back there, and I just couldn't get it all together to get going. We had talked about wanting to do a From the Beginning series about Paul from the very beginning again, and it just didn't come about for many, many reasons. And I don't plan on doing that here, for one thing. I will be teaching, and I will be very busy for things like that. Website's going to continue as is. Some of you have made mention that you continue to support it because it will cost, just the actual website cost itself. And I'm glad to be off of that support us through the website thing. That bothered me greatly. Many of you folks really did take care of us and they helped greatly. It was marvelous. We wouldn't have made it without you. But I want the website to just be what needs to be preached. And if the people don't like it and they have no support to withdraw. So that part of it's a fine thing. It takes the pressure off of that. And I do want to be careful with it in town here because this is a rather new message, so we'll just take it one thing at a time. But I want you to realize that what I'm doing is something I never planned on doing again, and that's going back into a public school to teach music. And some of you out there know where I'm at with music and the difficulty that will be. But I hate to say it is a job. I'll say it's more than that. There are still kids and there are still people that can learn. And I really hope to do it in a manner that's right and pleases God and can be a testimony and, you know, the whole story. And this is mostly directed to the men tonight. I'd like to think it should be only to the men, but because we're going to talk tonight about the fact that I'm in the workplace again. I'm actually going to work, being around what you're going to be around. And you guys out there, you all do it all the time. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he says, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Then he says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous. There's more than just the fornicators. It's the covetous, extortioners, or with idolaters, which pretty much loops the whole crowd in there. For then must ye needs go out of the world. So to a man, he needs to work, if that's the case. And for me to do this, I'm going out into this world. And I'm going to try to do the right thing from within the world. So, because I've been a pastor for the last 13 years, and then a couple months in Salina, this is kind of putting me back into those shoes. I remember the difficult times I had in South Dakota earlier when I taught in Douglas, and then in New York, and then different places. That, you know, you're the Christian, you're the King James guy, and you want to tell everybody this and that and whatever. So, my preaching is going to go along with what I'm studying to help me go through what I'm going to have to go through. And that's teaching music, not in the manner I would like to teach it necessarily, but if I can't fit some of that stuff in properly, I hope I can do that. So, like tonight, I know there are people that are not happy that I'm going back into a school system, and I question it sometimes, but I won't at this point because this is where we are. But many of you folks out there are working in a place, you man, where you really can't hardly do anything that has anything to do with the truth or whatever. So that's what I think the direction we're going to go here is, how are we doing with what we're trying to do here? The few people I have talked with, this is going to be a new message, but I think it's going to be interesting. And I won't talk about it here on a sermon basis as far as locally. I'm just going to present as I personally learn what it is to do what I'm going to have to be doing, being the Bible-believing, King James only. There we go. King James, Paul following, risen Savior, all those kind of things. This is new here. So I don't want to leave the world yet, and I'm not going to be out of the world, wacky, and that sort of a thing. Yes, not what he's talking about. So we can't leave this place. We have to do what we have to do. And I so wish that it was the Christians that would realize that the ladies are to be the keepers at home and they should not be out in the workplace. And remember, I was talking about that back in Salina, some of you, and I come out here. And, but the ladies are still working everywhere, even places I was surprised. They carry out the groceries here for you, but it's the girls that are doing all that kind of stuff. So I notice things like that, and that's where we are. So anyway, here's Paul. He's saying, listen, if you're going to have to, you know, you need to work out in this world. You can't leave the earth. You can't leave this world. You have to do what you have to do. And I believe he's talking to the men. The ladies are in situations where you have to be, and you have to be. That's where God's grace allows that, and it's too bad that the situation is such that it is. I disagree with anybody who thinks that it's the young girls and it's the girls that need to be, the young ladies that need to be taught in the world, take them out and get them a job someplace, and then when they get old enough and they get married, then they can be keepers at home. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what the direction is, because to me that's not wisdom, because you're preparing the young ladies to go out there and the girls to be out in the world amongst all these guys and amongst this workplace, and they could get hooked into that thing, and then expect them when they get married to get out of that and to go back to being the wife thing. I think that's just a money thing. It's a money issue. But that's not the sermon tonight. That's just what I'm talking to the men tonight. We're working. We're working in places we sometimes don't want to work, but that's where we are. Just nowadays, we're glad we're working. So that kind of a thing. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're gonna look at some things. Again, I'm preaching to myself tonight because I need to do what I'm doing here, and I want to do a good job. They expect a lot out of me for music, and we'll see. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. Paul says here, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 8, he says, I robbed other churches of taking wages of them to do you service. So in some respects, I'm at rest here because I've got a job, there's a salary at this point, and some of those benefits and things, so I'm not fighting the preaching this and worried about losing the support and all that kind of stuff. And again, I thank you folks for supporting that you did, but now we can get off of that. If you want to support the website itself, that's more than needed and more than okay. And Paul himself even said that he thought that he was robbing churches to do what he was doing because they were helping him. So I don't want to be in that position, and I'm glad I'm not at this point. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and this is something for us men that we need to be aware of here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We know in, let's see here, it's in, I guess I just read real quick like here. In Titus 2, it talks about women being discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's a serious thing that takes place. So for us men, here's what we can find ourselves doing. It says in verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke, so we have a job. We're a servant to a master, a boss someplace. Most of us are, I am, whatever. And it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Now, verse 2 talks about believing masters. So, obviously, verse 1 must be not believing master. That's your boss. Whether it's up the ladder or the top boss or whatever. You're accountable to somebody. And it says, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. So that's my goal here, is that when I work and do what I'm going to be doing, whatever this is going to turn out to be, I need to do it in a manner that I obey what I'm asked to do. And if it's an odd thing, we'll deal with it. And so you can learn what it is, how I'm going to go through this thing, as I'm going to have to deal with these things. And says there, see, that if we don't do that as men within the workplace, then the name of God and His doctrine will be blasphemed. That's a testimony we're supposed to have in the workplace. Not knowledgeable of the Bible, not preachy, not mouthy and argumentative, as we learn that from Paul, not to strive with people, but we are to do what we're asked to do. And if we don't do that, that's a bad testimony for a Christian, Bible-believing Christian. So, now if we look at the rest of this, though, and it says in verse 2 about believing masters, then in verse 3 it says, if any man teach otherwise. Teach what otherwise? Well, verse 1 and 2 talks about obeying your boss, whether he's saved or lost. Then he goes on and he says in verse 3, so if any man teach otherwise, then there's two other things that are part of the list here, but we're just looking at that first couple verses. Go down to verse 4, then somebody who doesn't teach what I just taught right there, he's proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. It isn't just the correctors. It isn't just somebody that doesn't teach what the Bible says as such. It's somebody who teaches that a man is to obey his boss. Isn't that strange? That's just verse 1 and verse 2. And if you don't, you're blaspheming the name of God, and you're part of that crowd. So that's some tough stuff for a man working in the places that we're working today. And we won't even get into the different jobs people have. Teaching is a tough thing because you got to teach some things. And I'm going to really, deal with that sort of a thing. Now go to Titus chapter 2. We see the same thing down in verse 9. Titus, written by Paul. So we know that this is written to us. These are the things we'll be accountable to. And it says in verse 9, exhort servants, what Titus is to do is to exhort servants, which is what we are, to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. There we are, talking back to the boss, kind of a deal. Not purloining, and purloining is stealing. Whatever it is, whether it be even a thought or a plagiaristic thing or an item or whatever. But showing all good fidelity. Oh, I looked that up today, and now I can't even remember what we're talking about fidelity here. My mind is just at a total blank here. Just doing things, I can't remember how that was. Just doing things in its proper manner, the way it was described for you to do. This is what they would have you do. Then this is what you need to do. And as I look back as a parent, that's something to teach the kids, that they don't become really creative and do it their own way kind of a thing. It's not with fidelity, but that'd just be a parent message sometime. And it says that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So the pressure's on the man in the workplace to do what he's told to do. And if it becomes an issue between choosing between man and God, then you got to make the call. But Paul is also clear that you're not going to get away unless you leave this world away from these issues that are popping up. So, I got right here, fidelity, faithful to obligations and duties. You're faithful to your job. That's what we're called to do. So, that's going to be tough. And it's getting tougher these days. So, what we're going to look at here, with that introduction in mind, and that was a long introduction, checking out the crowd here. Good to see Floyd there too as well, who works at a bunch of grocery stores, and got all that kind of set up. So we're going to look at the word endure. We're going to see what Paul says about it. We've talked about it before. But like I say, things are going to be different for me because I'm in a total different situation. I'm not trying to start a church in Salina. I'm not preaching to people in Tushy. I'm working in a public system with children, with parents who know nothing about these things, going to try to show them that there is a good music that pleases God, I already talked about the superintendent, so we're with the superintendent, so we're on the same ballpark, but we know this is going to be tough. So, endure. You're trying to learn the living, the risen life of the Savior. You know, it's We're not going to have to endure to be saved. We're not talking about that. That's a tribulation verse. That's not written to us at all. It's there for us to realize that that's tribulational stuff, that yes, they will have to endure until the end. You see, we're not told to do that for salvation. But he does tell us to endure. Well, what do we have to endure? Well, if you're trying to change your life, modesty, your language, things you do within the workplace or don't within the home, or just the way you appear, the things that you won't do, TV, videos, or you pick and choose, you're careful than you were. You're trying to grow in knowledge and judgment, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. You're trying to do the right thing, and you're finding out, or we have all found out, that we're going to have to endure some things. So what would Paul say about endure? Again, he doesn't tell us to endure for salvation, but he does tell us to endure all things. I'll show you some things here. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 9. I know some of you guys come home from work and you've endured the day. It's been tough. And you wanted to say some things to the boss or to somebody else, and you didn't. And do you feel bad? Remember in Romans 14, it talks about a lot of this stuff is doubtful disputations. And if there's somebody's weak in the faith, saved but don't understand Bible things at all whatsoever, you could destroy the work of God with the meat that we know as a King James Bible preaching kind of a guy. So we have to be careful. So holding things back or not doing something that everybody else is doing, not watching something that everybody else, family included, is doing and somehow trying to cleanse yourself from some of the things you really don't want to be around without making the big fuss and the big scene, then you find yourself having to endure. Yeah, we're going to go to this thing and we're going to have to endure it because we need to go to this, whatever this required thing type of thing. Am I going to endure my job? I hope to enjoy it. But there's going to be some things that I'm going to have to endure. You know, the modesty, the language, the way kids talk to parents, and the way parents talk to kids. You know, you've got the good, you got the bad kids with good parents, and you got the good kids with bad parents. And you've got everything in my department, and Floyd's, and what we got here? Sam, you're going to be working, you know, that kind of thing. And Troy, you do tax work for people. And some things Paul says, just endure. So Romans chapter 9, I like these verses, so we're just going to talk about them here, not in any special order, other than just the order they come in the book. Verse 22, let's look at this one. What if God, willing to show His wrath, and to make His power known, because He's willing to show His wrath, He's God, and He's willing to make His power known, but see here it says, endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Now, God is enduring this world. Romans chapter 4, or Romans chapter 2, verse, I think it's 5, talks about how the lost, He's storing up the works that they're doing. It'll show up at their judgment, at the white throne judgment. And He's not casting judgment on anybody today. That's the goodness of God. Romans chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. So, He's not casting any judgment on Christians as well, because we have our judgment seat coming up. So, there's no need to judge a Christian, his works, because the works will be for the judgment seat. There's no reason to judge any sin for a Christian because we're not under the law. So if there's no law, there is no transgression. So there's nothing to judge us on that department. The things that we do will be judged at the judgment seat. A lost person he's getting away with murder these days, and he's mocking God and hates the goodness of God and all these things. And God is enduring with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. These guys are going to hell for eternity. And He's putting up with it. He's enduring that, hoping that maybe they will still see what they need to see and get saved. And I know He knows, but He doesn't make them. You know, that whole story. So, it's their choice, not God's choice. Everybody seems to want to blame God for something that's taken place that's a bad thing. No, God didn't make that happen. This is all reaping and sowing as a nation, as a person, that kind of a thing. So, it's their choice, and we know that in Romans chapter 1, God has given them the knowledge they need to know, and then when they're young, and then we teach it out of them. Apparently, that's how that thing works out. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. we see where we're talking about charity. Here comes this charity thing again. And one of the phrases it says in verse 7, it says that charity endureth all things. Charity can put up with anything. If you have charity as a Christian, you can put up. But we also, and I got to say it again, we also realize that we've learned this in the past year or so here, that there comes a time is it when Paul, when the risen Savior expects us to do something about something. You don't just have charity and just ignore it and just live just forever, because if it's going to cause some damage or cause somebody to stumble or whatever the different things are taking place, we've got this long list of things that we need to pay attention to. And that's we've talked about this. You depart, you despise, you find out something's wrong, you depart from it, you despise it, you destroy it if you can. Prayer, tears, grace, truth, mercy, long-suffering, patience, we have all those things. See, that's charity. But there comes a time where we're supposed to say something. We've been over this series before. And then if that doesn't work, you say something a little harder. You exhort. And eventually you get into admonition, you get into rebuke. And then finally Paul says, listen, if nothing else, you do need to avoid. You do need to withdraw from. You do need to have no company with. But see, if we pull that last part of that list out right off the bat, then no, we can't work in the places we're working. We can't even be around the people we need to be around. We can't even be on this earth. We can't even be in this world. So, yes, charity endureth all things. But Paul also tells us to deal with it if we need to. You don't go to some places and say, well, I know I shouldn't be here, but I'm going to have charity, so I'm going to have another drink, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to wear this, I'm going to go here, I'm going to watch this. Yes, charity endureth all things, but that's not, charity doesn't give us permission for all things either. Paul's right, again, that's back to Paul's teachings. So we have to be careful of that sort of a thing. I know that we like to be the all-loving, all-friendly, all kind of a thing, not make any scenes. We also have, there are times in our lives, especially the men, well, the ladies are getting that way too, you want to get out there and slam bang and preach and let them have it and tell them all this kind of junk and all this kind of stuff. And you're probably right with what you're saying, but the risen Savior says, listen, this isn't how we do it during the dispensation of grace. We don't ignore it, but we endure it, and we got some more verses coming up that'll help us, I think. Let's go to Second Thessalonians chapter 1. When you're enduring something, it's going to wear you out. It's going to wear us down. You're going to want to quit. You're going to want to go someplace else. And maybe you should. Maybe that's a total legitimate thing between you and God that you need to move on to some different thing. We hadn't been in Salina a couple months, and here we are in South Dakota. And I believe it's totally what God would have us be doing here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I guess I better go to the notes in here too. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you. 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1:4, not 4:1, but 1:4. Okay. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions, and there it is, and tribulations that ye endure. So we're going to have to endure tribulations. Now, is this endure the tribulation? Not at all. Are these tribulations from somebody else? Not necessarily. Just think about the things that you have to endure. You are trying not to watch a TV. You're trying to dress differently. You're trying to turn off the music. You're trying to do something different with your music. You're trying to do it differently around your house. You're trying to, you know what that's going to bring? That's going to bring tribulation. It isn't you causing the trouble. It isn't you causing the stink. You're just trying to be who you would have to be because you're growing in judgment and you're growing in knowledge. And again, Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, you're bringing tribulation upon yourself, though, probably. I tend to think that, again, just thinking some thoughts here, I'm tending to think that it seems like, in my years, that more tribulation has come from families that we're trying to do some things right in our lives. More tribulation is coming from the Christians, or the so-called Christians, as compared from the world that's out there. That's really sad that takes place. I think I'm going to kind of recognize that as time goes on here. We've had friendly people in town come to help us shovel and just the stores and friendly people. Okay, so It says, and for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now, just trying to read my notes here a little bit. There's that word, well, the word's not in there, but I'm thinking here. I'm trying to get my mind back on track here. That some of the things that are bringing us tribulation is because of ourselves. And we know that in Timothy, that we ourselves cause us the biggest problem. Let's look at a couple quick verses here. Romans chapter 8, verse 23, that the tribulations that we're going to endure are going to be caused by ourselves in some ways. And some of it's right. You can't ignore that you're going to try to take a stand on something that's right. You're not making a big scene. You're just not going to participate. Or if you're around the situation, you're going to do something during that situation just because you don't want to participate. But you're not going to not be there either, because it's not possible. So we're going to have to endure. And if we don't want to endure, then see, we're the one that ends up quitting. We're the one that ends up stopping doing these things, because they're not going to put up with it any better. They're not going to just whatever. We're the one to think we need to back off. No, we need to just endure this tribulation that's coming here for that particular thing. In fact, Romans 8:23 says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, even ourselves wants out of this mess. We don't want this tribulation. We don't want to fight the things that we're trying to fight. We wish we could have a victory. And it's a constant battle. So even we ourselves groan within ourselves, it says there. Romans chapter 15, look at Romans 15 verse 1. So we need to endure trying to do right. Trying to learn, trying to grow amongst the world where we are. Romans 15 verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I really believe more and more as I look back in my life that many of the things I tried to do and say and whatever was done and said because I'm pleasing myself that I don't do this, or I'm pleasing myself because I said this. And he says there, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. If we're doing right, we're going to try to do right, we're going to change some things in our lives. It really isn't for ourselves, it's for His glory. It's to please God. And if we could get the handle on that, which we are going to fight that thing, ourselves are going to take some tribulation. And if we're doing it for ourselves, we're going to wind up, we're going to get down, we're going to get tired, and we're going to back off because ourselves is not happy, or are not happy. We're going to want to do it our way. And that's not the way it should be. We're learning that. One way to endure these things is you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for God, who did what He did for you. You're doing it for the risen Savior. You're doing it for all the thousands of people that died and were tortured so we could have this Bible today. You're doing it for your pastor if he's teaching the truth. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for somebody who's never heard it before. And they don't want to just hear it from you. They want to see it from you. So you're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for somebody else or for God Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1, 4. That when we have these tribulations and trials and persecutions, again, as we try to endure, we see that we will hopefully have a victory. We'll have some things taken care of. You'll see down the road how God worked this thing out. 2 Corinthians 1, 4 says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So, as we learn to try to endure the things that we have to endure with what we're trying to grow and learn here, we'll get a victory. And you just watch, in your life, somebody's going to come along that's going to be in that same type of a situation, and how did you get through it? Or did you not get through it? Or how did God, what did you get out of your Bible that helped you through something? Not that you're going to preach to somebody, not that you're this great miracle, wonderful Christian that's got a victory type thing. You fight these battles all the time. But still, so as we go this through this enduring, remember that one person that you're enduring this for is somebody else someday who's going to go through the very same thing you are, might even be your own kids someday, that you can then help them because you've experienced it. to experience the victory is a lot stronger to remember than to read about one. So when you read stories of all these successful things out there, which most of which are not true, and they're miracles and signs and wonders written by the devil, that kind of a thing. But yet we are comforted. And the word is comfort. He doesn't keep us from these things. He comforts us. Now, go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're just looking at enduring. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Let's see here, 6:30. I'm not even sure what the times are here. Anyway, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, verse 5, to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So if we have victories, and if we are enduring, and we have changed our lives, it isn't us. It's God that's gotten us, or helped us, or shown us. The Scriptures have shown us what it is, and we've made those stands. So let's go back here now. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy here, verse 2, just a simple quick verse here, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 3, where he says, "Thou therefore," read the stuff beforehand, when you see the word "therefore," because it's kind of like a conclusion thing, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." It is going to be hard. Remember, we've talked about the two different ways of hardness. It's going to be hard for us to be what we should be, and it's going to be something we have to endure, the hardness that's around us. People don't want to hear this. They don't want to talk about this. They don't want to hear the King James Bible thing. They don't like it that you're wearing a skirt. They don't like it that your hair. They don't like it that this. They don't like that you're not going to do your hair like they are. They're not happy. You know, that's a hardness that's out there. And this world is getting harder and harder. So we even have to endure it that way. 2 Timothy, the same chapter, verse 10. He says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake." Now, we know directly here Paul is talking about the Jews, because Christians aren't elect. So that's a quick one. Paul's always been concerned about the brethren, his brothers, the Jews. He says there, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So we can use that as still as our example here, that we endure things so somebody else later would recognize that you're a Christian. And you didn't make the big scene. You didn't make the big fuss. But you also have to be careful that if you don't do something that you shouldn't, that you should, or you do something that you shouldn't, that that isn't going to cause them to stumble too. I mean, it's not easy to make these decisions on the spot in the places you're at. And you've got to endure. Do you endure what's going to happen when you do it when you shouldn't? You have to endure what's going to happen if you don't do it when you should. Or are you just going to have charity in that situation? And he says in Romans 14 at the end that if it's a charitable situation and you don't want to, and this just they'll stumble if you make a big scene about the doctrine of this thing. He says, what's he say? He says, "Happy are those that terrible. Won't take long here. Romans 14. He says, "Hast thou faith? Well, sure. Are you saved? Yes. Okay. Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth." You're going to be around people that are going to do things that are wrong. And you're going to sometimes feel guilty because you didn't say something. Well, maybe you shouldn't say anything at that time. And if that's the case, endure. And don't knock yourself around the block for it because you didn't say something. Maybe you shouldn't have. So, happy is he that doesn't condemn himself for allowing what you allowed to take place. So this all ties in to help us endure a hard day at work amongst just garbage or things that you really can't say yet or things that you have to do to obey your boss. As we know that that's blaspheming the Word of God and the doctrine of God if us men don't obey our boss. Then finally here, a couple of quick last ones here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Talks about persecutions, afflictions, what came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. So he endured them. He didn't get out of. He didn't get away from them. Or he didn't have them kept from him. They're coming. Because he says, "But out of them all the Lord delivered me." It doesn't say that he kept me away. We are where we are. We're in this world. And he says, "I endured the persecutions that were coming. And but yet still, out of them all the Lord delivered me." And he does that through the book, changing your life, that all sorts of things about that. And then we know the classic last two verses, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I'm not a Bible corrector. I'm not going to change one word in the Bible. But I'm starting to recognize that that word they really could almost say we. For the time will come when we will not endure sound doctrine. There's people out listening to this who are Paul-following Christians. Maybe they're just King James-only Christians. Maybe they're not even that. They're just trying to be the Christian. But when this sound doctrine, which is Paul's teaching, just sound doctrine, even says in Titus chapter 2, this is sound doctrine, that we are not good at enduring what's right anymore. But the word is they, so Paul is saying, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. They only want to hear what they want to hear. And in verse 5, watch in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. We all have a ministry of being a Christian. So we're going to have to endure some things, and I'm going to have to learn to endure some things. I'm going to have to preach about them and teach them and see if we can't do this together, because you guys have been in the workplace a lot longer than I have lately. And you can probably teach me some things. I'd still like to add your studies to the website, to the little sermons we have there for you men writing some things or whatever. We'll see how the website goes. It's not going to go away at all. But I'll be busy during the week, you know, prepping and all that stuff for these kids and see where it goes. So there you are. The risen Savior would have us men out in this workplace. We got to leave this world. And we have to endure, but we have to endure. And so the ladies have to endure. If they're out there working and doing the thing that takes place, then I guess they can apply the principle. That's where we are today. We're in the dispensation of grace. And this is what's going on today. I would just hope that parents would guide their children to the truth, being the girls or the guys or whatever, and husbands and wives, you know, kind of a thing. Tough days we're living in. We need to endure, not for salvation, just for His glory and for victories and to grow in knowledge and in truth and all the things that are right. So there's your last message in December, as well as probably your first message in January, because when is Sunday? January? Yes, we're already into the year. So this is your last and first all in one night. So we'll see you folks later. Good to have you back. Keep in touch. I got some other things I'll yak to you about on the internet, my emails. Notice emails are different. The Pocket iNet is no longer coming into our home. We just kiboshed it. Got rid of a lot of garbage mail by doing that, so that's nice. Good to see you staying with us, and we'll talk.